send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. Before we get into today's message, I'd like to read to you a very interesting email that came in this week, and then I'm going to provide her with my answer, while at the same time, hopefully, dealing with what others may have wondered as well. Yeah, the email came in fits right along with this series of messages that we've been dealing with concerning who is Israel. So let's just get right to it. Here's the email. The subject line was question re-NWO Bible. I'm curious, you mentioned that the social insurance number is the spirit of the Antichrist. But the Antichrist, from my understanding of Scripture, is anyone that denies Christ. So can you explain what you mean when you say the spirit of the Antichrist? The world we live in today seems to me to be the spirit of the Antichrist, nothing but deception. How does one navigate when we have to live in the world, even though we are not of the world? End quote. I believe this is probably the first time this lady has written to me. And if she's listening this morning, I want you to know that I very much appreciate the email, as I do every email that comes. But the phrase that she, or the fact that she uses the phrase social insurance number, tells me she's probably from what the world calls Canada. I can't say for sure, but when I've referenced the SSN, the social security number in the US, or the social insurance number in Canada, if you recall, I've made a special point to call out the fact that in Canada, often that number is referred to as the SIN number. And I've made comments as to just how blatant, how in your face that is. But, you know, very few people seem to have a problem with it. So let me answer the email. The biggest reason why I say the social security number or the SIN number for Canada is the spirit of Antichrist or is the, quote, mark of the beast, I mean, it's mainly for shock value. You know, we live in a world where definitions, understandings, and ways of life have been shaped, molded, and determined by totally fictional things concerning the, quote, mark of the beast. In our generation, we've had fictions such as Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, and others of that ilk, an ilk used in the most demeaning, deriding manner in which I could ever use the word. But these people, these inhumane human beings, have created this fictional character in which they have named, just like a children's fairy tale story or a Hollywood movie, they've created and breathed life to this Frankenstein character, which they have named the Antichrist. Now, I've told you before, when I was growing up playing, quote, church, the, quote, churchmen named this Antichrist, you know, every 5 or 6 years, as they did all they could to ramp up their end times lies. And I believe the first time that I can recall, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, they were talking about the Pope of the Catholics being the Antichrist. And then I remember them naming Henry Kissinger. And then I remember Ronald Reagan. And I told you before how stupid that was. You know, Ronald Wilson Reagan was his name. And all three names had six letters. So these brilliant minds in the quote church determined that Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666, was the Antichrist. I mean, this larger than life, you know, mythical Satan man that these people made up. And then I recall them referring to some Israeli prince or, I don't know, Egyptian prince or something, or politician or something like that. And then it went on to the next and on to the next. I think even some of them even said that Obama was, quote, the Antichrist character that they had created. And while every single name that I named was an Antichrist, I mean, this whole concept that these people have created is just, it's pure insanity. Okay, I want you to listen to this. This is from the, quote, Apostolic Church. The article, I've got the link in the notes. It starts out with the Antichrist, the arch deceiver of the end times, one of the most foreboding characters in the Word of God. Antichrist embodies the very essence of godlessness, end quote. The arch deceiver of the end times. I mean, these people are such total nut jobs. When I read their stuff, it's like those cartoons when we were little kids, you know, Boris and Natasha, the arch enemies of Bullwinkle. I mean, it's just such nonsense. I mean, these are supposedly grown-up adult people who've come up with this stuff, and they believe it and peddle it today as truth. It's a Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon with Boris and Natasha as the arch enemies of a talking moose and a talking squirrel. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But it continues. Quote, Christians have the enlivening and purifying hope in their hearts of the rapture of the church. The Apostle Paul wrote of this event, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. The rapture of the church could happen at any moment. Okay. Totally amazing how they can read and quote that passage and even acknowledge that Paul wrote it and read the part of the verse where Paul is saying, then we which are alive and remain, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But they'll be the first to admit and say that what Paul really didn't mean what he said. Then we which are alive and remain. What is so hard about that phrase? If they understood what they were reading, then the rest of their lives wouldn't be based on Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. Okay, it continues. Events to take place. The apostle did not want the brethren to confuse the rapture of the church with the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes to set up his kingdom. God's word tells us that certain events will transpire before Christ establishes his kingdom on earth, end quote. And of course, as I've tried to get people to see for almost 40 years now, that's the whole crux of the issue. That's what it's all about. Their system of belief, their faith is designed intentionally, unintentionally, whatever, because the conclusion is what matters. Their belief system is designed to do one thing, place the establishment of the kingdom of Christ on earth in the future. The kingdom of Christ on earth is not for today. And if the kingdom of Christ is not for today, then what is? The kingdoms of men. And it's really that simple. It's that easy. That's what it's all about. It's about the kingdoms of men versus the kingdom of God. That's been the war since man was created. And the leader of the war that's opposing the kingdom of God today is this monster, this beast called, quote, church. It continues. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, in parentheses, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Here the Bible tells of the sign of the coming of the Antichrist, apostasy, end quote. That's a complete baseless lie. The sign of the coming of, quote, the Antichrist. Okay, the phrase the Antichrist does not appear one single time in our Bibles. And the word Antichrist is not capitalized like they do in their article one single time in our Bibles to denote that this is one particular entity, like the quote churchmen are trying to pass on to naive, non-studying, and I'll even say non-reading church people. If the church people were even reading their Bibles, and if they were studying their Bibles, sure, they would see right through this pure insanity that these 501c3 government, quote, preachers are trying to deceive people with. Okay, it continues. As we look at Christendom today, we see in many circles a departure from the faith, people turning away from God and holiness, often having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, 2 Timothy 3:5. End quote. Well, here's another baseless lie. Christendom has never departed from the faith. Christendom has never turned away from God and holiness, and Christendom has never denied the power, the authority of God. It is the authority of God that is what makes people Christians. Christians are people who live and move and have their being by and through the authority of God. What this man is doing is called transference. And it's the worst form of transference ever. He's trying to call churchianity Christianity. And the two are as far apart as night and day, black and white, left and right, noon and midnight. They're not the same. It is churchianity that turns people away from God and holiness. It is churchianity that, as I see it, doesn't even have a form of godliness. They just claim something that they have created and have called it godliness, but it's definitely not biblical. And they are the absolute epitome of denying the power, the authority of God. Just look at pretty much every single one of their buildings, and you'll see the U.S. flag flying over the building. And God forbid, if you were to go inside, you'd see the U.S. flag flying inside the building too. The other day, I drove past one of those godforsaken places, and they had at least 6 U.S. flags flying across their front lawn. They do not get their power or authority to exist from God. That's as easy to see as anything ever was. They get their power to exist from their little g God, the U.S. quote government. The article continues. The falling away includes many who deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and deny that he is the divine Son of God. Some professing Christians have grown lukewarm, linking hands with the world. However, the word says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, 1 John 2:15. Well, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what it is. Lukewarm, linked hands with the world. They open their billfolds and lay the contents on the table for everyone to see. These people are linked with the world in every single important way imaginable. Their entire financial existence is linked to the world. But they think because they don't say a cuss word or they don't smoke a cigarette or drink a beer, that that's what is meant by not being, quote, linked with the world. And that is about as shallow as it can get. They're friends with the world in every single way the Bible condemns it to be. The article continues about this, quote, Antichrist that they have created. The mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, was already working in the days of the apostles, but there was and is a hindering power, the Holy Spirit in his present office as the reprover of the world and gatherer of the church. When this restraining one is taken from the world at the rapture of the church, then the Antichrist will be revealed, end quote. It's very important to note here that every time that they're quoting from 1 and 2 Thessalonians, this creature, the Antichrist, with a capital A, Okay, it's not even mentioned one single time in either book. Okay, now their heresy continues. Characteristics of the Antichrist. The name Antichrist identifies one of the most foreboding personages in the Word of God, end quote. All right, let's stop here for a minute. I want you to examine something with me, and I want you to see if you come up with the same conclusion that I did. Okay, when I first, you know, or when I read this statement, the name Antichrist with a capital A, okay, I obviously had some immediate concerns. First of all, my concern here is that they keep using the words the Antichrist as a noun. Okay, I don't believe that's accurate. And I take exception to both Mr. Strong and to Mr. Thayer when you look up this word in their Greek dictionary and lexicon. And here's why. If you go to Mr. Strong's concordance, you will not see the definition of the word Antichrist in Greek. You will see a, quote, church definition. And when you look at Mr. Thayer's lexicon, you see the same thing. Okay, you see, quote, church definitions. Typically, when you look at Mr. Thayer's Greek lexicon, and the reason why I use it most of the time, what do you see? You see how a particular Greek word was used in Greek history, in Greek literature, etc. You see how the word was used even before the times of Christ in the first century, but not so with this word. You see Mr. Strong and Mr. Thayer doing nothing but providing church definitions for the word Antichrist. And when you look at Mr. Strong's definition, you see him saying that the word Antichrist is a noun. All right, what is a noun? Okay, we all know it's a person, place, or thing. Okay, I don't believe that that is accurate. I don't believe that it's accurate reading the word in the context of the scriptures. And I don't believe that it's accurate in the context of basic English. Now, if I'm wrong, and there's someone out there who's got, you know, much more of a command of the English language than I do, then I'd be all ears for someone to correct me or just to discuss it. But I want you to look at this with me. If you look closer at what Mr. Strong said in his definition, he says that the word antichristos, comes from G473 and G5547. All right, so what is G473? Okay, G473 is a preposition. It is a primary particle and it means opposite. For example, instead or because of, rarely in addition to, for, in the room of, and he says, anti, end quote. Now, that's easy. Okay, we use that word all the time in our modern speaking. It means against. It's opposite. It's a preposition. Now, here's where my argument might get a little iffy for some people. Okay, a preposition, definition. A function word that typically, now see, I didn't notice that the first time, typically. Okay, that means it doesn't always, but it typically combines with a noun phrase to form a phrase which usually expresses a modification or a predication. So, the things that I'm reading now, you know, excuse me, does seem to confirm Mr. Strong's statement that Antichrist, Antichristos, is a noun. Prepositions precede nouns. But I'm saying in this instance, it doesn't make sense to call this word Antichrist a noun, which opens the door for these churchmen to create their Frankenstein that they have named the Antichrist with a capital A. Okay, Mr. Strong says to see G5547 for the rest of the definition of Antichrist or Antichrist. And G5547 takes us to the word Christ, to Christos in the Greek. And what do we find? As I've tried to get people to see over and over, Christ, Christos, is not his name. Christos, part of speech, adjective. Mr. Strong says it's an adjective. from the root word, the etymology from creo, and creo is a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb meaning to anoint. Christ, anointed Christ, was and is the Messiah, the Son of God, anointed. Strong's definitions. Christos from G5548, anointed, the Messiah, an epithet of Jesus Christ. Okay, I do not see how Antichrist is a noun any more than I see Christ as a noun. Christ is an adjective. It is the descriptive title of Jesus, the anointed king, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior and ruler of the world. Antichrist is a descriptive term for those who oppose Jesus. If you look at the five times that the word actually does appear in the Bible, it is a descriptive term for those who refuse to believe that Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, came in the flesh. The absolute epitome of those in the Middle East today who the white, quote, church world has declared are God's chosen people. Okay, there isn't anything that makes sense of what these people are saying. There's a billboard at a business that's on I-44 in Springfield this week. And the billboard says, "Pray for Israel, God's chosen people." And I just wanted to get off the interstate and go to the business and ask who put the sign up. And just ask them to confirm to me that the Jews have embraced Jesus now. I mean, was there something that I've missed in the headlines this week? Did the Jews embrace Jesus and I just missed it? If someone does not believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one promised to save Israel, to sit on David's throne, if they do not believe that Jesus was the one, then they are. The Bible describes them as an adjective. It's an adjective that the Bible uses to describe, and it's called Antichrist. And if you are Antichrist, it's easy as possibly can be, you are certainly not God's chosen people. The Bullwinkles of churchianity continue with their deception of Antichrist as a noun with a capital A denoting a name. Quote, "The Antichrist," capital A, "is opposed to God and to Jesus Christ, a single individual. He is called that man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked, whose coming is after the working of Satan," 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, 8, 9. This person, the Antichrist, is also called the beast, because from God's point of view, that is exactly what he is. In Revelation 13, 2, it is said that he will have similarities of the leopard, bear, and lion, animals which are strong, fearless, and quick to seize their prey. The Antichrist will be very strong and powerful. There will be an air about him which is self-assured and proud, and his conquest will be rapid. A single individual, he is called that man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked, whose coming is after the working of Satan. This person, the Antichrist, is also called the beast, because from God's point of view, that is exactly what he is. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, please. And I want you to keep in mind what we just read from the apostolic church about this so-called single individual. Okay, now let's begin reading in verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And again, how simple is this? Well, it's so simple that John says little children can get it. Little children, it is the last time. I'm telling you this morning, for those who deny that the last time was when John was writing this letter in the first century, for people who insist that the last time, the end times, the last days are referring to anything other than the times in which John was writing to those first century saints, I mean, listen, this is a big deal. This is not just an agree to disagree issue. Part of denying Jesus includes the proper understanding of the last time. It's about deception. It's about not knowing and obeying the truth. Not understanding when the last time was will lead to deception. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. There is no single individual called, quote, the Antichrist. There were and are many Antichrists. They are deceivers. They are those that promote lies. They are those that will not yield to truth. They are those that say the, quote, end times have not been fulfilled. They are those that say the kingdom of God has not been established. They are those that say the, quote, Jews or anyone else that does not believe that Jesus took the throne of David at his resurrection from the dead. They are antichrists, and the world is filled with them. Now, the church man is going to transfer his, quote, the antichrist to the book of Revelation. Listen to this. The Bible tells us that the dragon will give the beast his power, his seat, and great authority. The dragon is that serpent called the devil and Satan, Revelation 12:9. The devil offered the kingdom of this world to Jesus in temptation, but Jesus refused, Matthew 4:8 through 10. The Antichrist, however, willingly takes this offered kingdom. The beast will be wounded to death, as it were, but the deadly wound will be healed, causing the world to wonder and to worship the dragon and the beast, Revelation 13:3 through 4. The Antichrist will come into power through flatteries, the promise of peace, and a certain measure of prosperity. He will change his tactics during the tribulation, however, and become the most cruel and despotic ruler this world has ever seen. He will be a monster of iniquity and will deceive the nations of the world. See Revelation 13, 1 through 18. Or from these people's perspective, go back and find a 1960s or 70s version of Rocky and Bullwinkle. It continues. This man of sin draws himself the admiration and worship of the world, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, Revelation 13:18. Humanity is represented as being captivated by the Antichrist's qualities and powers. Their wonderment is, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. He will deceive the Jewish people. The Antichrist will make a treaty with them during the first part of his reign, probably assuring them that he will solve their problems and guarantee their peace. It is possible that during this time, the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and the sacrificial worship to God by the Jewish people will once again be reinstated. Oh, brother, you talk about blasphemies. These are some of the most blasphemous words against Jesus Christ that men have ever spoken. But this is pretty much the entire white world of churchianity. This is what they believe. And this could have been written by Baptists, by Methodists, Presbyterians, even Catholics. It's the doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. I mean, it could have been written by any one of them. And sadly, it's also the false doctrine of a lot of, quote, Christian identity believers also. Now, let's examine a little bit more so that I can get to the answer regarding the SIN or SSN and the Canadian sin numbers. Quote, covenant broken. However, in the midst of the Antichrist's seven-year rule, his covenant with the Jews will be broken. This action by the Antichrist will reveal to the Jews his demonic nature. There will follow a terrible time for the Jewish people and for the whole earth, a time of great tribulation. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah 37, end quote. Of course, none of that matters that Jesus told the people of his generation the exact same thing, but told them that their generation would not pass until all these things were fulfilled. You know, that's just a minor inconvenience of truth there. The article goes on. The false prophet will be the promoter of the Antichrist. That's funny. I just thought about that. Who are the ones that are the biggest promoters of the, quote, Antichrist in the world today? It's church people. He will set up an image of the beast and cause all who will not worship the image to be killed. He will force everyone to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, establishing that no person will be able to buy or sell without the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. There will be no salvation for the man or woman who worships the beast or takes his mark. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. The safe course is to believe in the Lord Jesus today, follow his instructions, and be ready for the rapture of the church. End quote. All right. Revelation 13, 18, that no man might buy or sell, save he have the, quote, mark of the beast, the number 666. All right, it simply cannot be denied that nearly the entire religious world today believes the lie of futurism, the mark of the beast, and what they have invented in their Hollywood churchianity, quote, the Antichrist. They say that this Antichrist that they have invented will cause everyone to take a number, and without that number, they cannot buy or sell. So let's get technical. Is the beast, the dragon, that old serpent of the book of Revelation, the Antichrist, capital T, capital A? Okay, absolutely not. The Antichrist that these Rocky and Bullwinkle churchites have created is not Boris and Natasha, the Antichrist. Okay, there's nothing in the Bible to tie some mythical, quote, the Antichrist to the book of Revelation, which was more than likely Nero, the Roman emperor, or maybe the chief ruler in Jerusalem. I don't know. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to discuss, but the Bible doesn't say exactly. Personally, I do lean towards Nero, okay? But I can't say 100%, and it doesn't matter anyway, in my opinion. But is it accurate to say that the beast of Revelation 13, which attempted to cause everyone under his power to take a mark, a number that represented identity to him, is it correct to describe him as an Antichrist? Of course it is. He was an Antichrist. He wasn't this made-up single individual that churchmen named, quote, the Antichrist, like the Hollywood movie Damien the Omen or others like that, or something else ridiculous. But whatever that entity was that Revelation 13 described, was absolutely an Antichrist. There's no question about that. Revelation 13 describes that beast as one who opposed Christ. He opposed the people who embraced Christ. And just like men's little g quote governments have always done, he tried to make everyone take his mark, take his number, or else he tried to prevent them from buying and selling. Stop right here for just a minute. I've mentioned this before. I mean, how many of you have looked into the Stamp Act of 1765? Well, the quote, King of England tried to force the American colonies to place a stamp, a mark, an ID on things that they were buying and selling. The quote, King tried to require his ID for the purpose of buying and selling. And contrary to what most people think, okay, the cry, no king but Jesus, from my studies, arose from people rebelling against the Stamp Act. No doubt, true Christians of that time period were behind that. No king but Jesus. Okay, it's not a new thing for men's little g quote governments to demand IDs for buying and selling. In the U.S., I can't speak so much for Canada because I don't know exactly how things work there. But in the U.S., they've done as much as they possibly can to prevent people from buying and selling unless they have an identification number issued by the U.S. quote government. And this is absolutely the spirit of Antichrist. It is Antichrist to try to force someone into identification with the world, with the world system, and make it hard to buy and sell without that identification. In the U.S., the citizen's identification number is the Social Security number. And anyone who tries to say that it isn't is just as foolish as can be. I've had several people, one in particular. I won't name him this morning. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to. But through the years, they try as hard as they can to tell me that that number is not an identification number. That's ridiculous. Anyone who knows that, it's exactly what it is. A person's, quote, name in this country is just a formality. It's the number. It's a Social Security number that is required for pretty much every single business transaction that takes place in this country. I've told you this before, but recently I told someone else about this. It just shocked him. And someone who didn't know this to be true, but in 1998, Title 42, Section 666 was enacted in the U.S., and under the guise of child support enforcement, in paragraph 13, it says the following: recording of Social Security numbers in certain family matters, procedures requiring that the Social Security number of A, any applicant for a professional license, okay, that's a license to, quote, work, driver's license, occupational license, recreational license, marriage license, be recorded on the application. Any individual who is subject to a divorce decree, support order, or paternity determination or acknowledgement be placed in the records relating to the matter, and any individual who has died, blah, blah, blah. This is how they've tried to make it as hard as possible to buy or sell in the U.S. without a Social Security number. We also know that they've tried to make it impossible to have a bank account without that number. So what they've done is they've made it to the point where those who refuse to use or refuse to get a Social Security number or never had one, you basically are forced to function in what they so lovingly call the underground. Deal only in cash, etc. And this is also why they want to do away with cash, because they're trying as hard as they can to make sure that no one can buy or sell unless they use that mark of identification from their, quote, government. It's another reason why it's so grievous. It's hurtful to see people who should know better just whip out a credit card for their purchases instead of using cash, which, even if it's in just a small way, it helps those of us who are trying to live outside of identification with arguably the largest beast that the world has ever known. Sure, Rome was huge. There's no doubt about that, at least if you can believe history. I mean, the Bible record from Revelation says that the beast deceived the whole world, so whatever that was, it was certainly big. But what we see today, as far as the influence in our world, the beast that is the U.S. quote government is certainly huge. Yet we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are expected to not yield to this beast every bit as much as those first century saints who the Bible says were beheaded because they would not take the mark of a beast. To my knowledge, there hasn't been a single person living in my generation, again, that I know of, that's been beheaded because they refused to be marked by the U.S. quote government. But so few people are even concerned about the fact that they willingly have allowed themselves to be marked, to be numbered, to be identified by what is arguably the greatest, largest beast quote government the world has ever known. It's actually pretty pathetic that there are so few that have been willing to sacrifice their lives to be obedient to these Bible principles. So I hope that explains why I've said many times now that when men's government, quote unquote, tries to force people to be marked by that, quote, government in order to buy and sell, to function easier, and I mean just in the simple basics of life, that forcing people to have a number is the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why I believe what I believe and teach what I teach. When people ask me why I refuse that number, okay, most of the time, the first answer, the easy answer, is because my government, capital G, does not require it. In fact, my government, capital G, forbids numbering its citizens. Okay, I'm not talking about just counting the people. I'm talking about assigning each person with a specific number. And I believe there's biblical support for this, and I've discussed it in other messages. I am a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, so named in Ephesians chapter 2, my government, the government of King Jesus, of the Creator God of the universe, does not require the number of a man. The Bible says the government of God goes by names that are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not by numbers, it's by names. All right, just for kicks, let's finish the apostolic, quote, church essay on their beloved Antichrist, quote, "After the tribulation period, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will come with his armies from heaven to end the reign of the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will be cast alive into a lake of fire. The dragon, which is the devil, will be cast in the bottomless pit. At that time, Jesus will set up his literal kingdom upon earth and reign for 1,000 years, which the Bible refers to as the millennial reign. What a glorious time this will be. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus, do his will, and follow his instructions given in the Word of God will be included among the overcomers who enjoy the glories and privileges of the millennium," end quote. Once again, as kindly as I can say it, liars. The words millennial, millennial reign, millennium are not even in the Bible. This is as made up as their most worshipful Antichrist with a capital A. All right. Tying right on in now with our series on who is Israel, let's examine the five times that the word Antichrist is actually found in our Bibles, none of which, by the way, are in the book of Revelation. Okay, now we've already looked at 1 John chapter 2, but because I'm changing gears just a little bit here, I want to look at it again, beginning with verse 18, and we'll go to 23. "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." How clear is that? The same hath not the Father. But we've been told for our entire lives that the, quote, Jews, those who do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, are God's chosen people. You know, last week we looked at Romans chapter 8. Paul said that those who are not in Christ are, speaking of the Father, none of his. And now John is saying they do not have the Father. This is as clear as anything ever was in our Bibles. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. This is John teaching what he earlier called little children. I received the absolute most precious video from Taylor this week. Poppy, as you know, just turned 2 years old. And Taylor sent me a video of Poppy counting to 14. Taylor had written the numbers 1 through 14 on a piece of paper, and Poppy was saying each number as Taylor pointed to them. It was just precious. And then they went outside, and Poppy was counting the cows. You know, this is John teaching us, teaching followers of Christ our ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. This is how you know who belongs to God. Everyone that says that Jesus is the Christ is of God. Everyone who says that Jesus is not Christ is not of God. Everyone that says that Jesus Christ is not the King is Antichrist. It's ABC. It's 1, 2, 3. And we better come to grips with this. For those who say that the, quote, Jews, people who do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, to say that they are God's chosen people, they are the liars, the deceivers, the false prophets that were in the world in the first century, and they're the false teachers, the false spirits that are in the world right now. However the Spirit of God leads you, whether as cautious and sweet, as kind as can be, I mean, we need to face these deceivers and tell them what the Word of God so clearly says. If you are forceful and straight and bold, then by all means, the enemies of Christ have advanced long enough. It's time, it's past time to set the record straight. The, quote, Jews are not God's chosen people. They are not in Christ. They are not in the Father. They are not of God. And it's a terrible thing to promote the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, and tell the world that they're God's chosen people when they're not. Verse 4, let's just keep going. Let the word speak for itself. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have overcome whom? Those who do not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. This isn't hard. It's Bible 101. It's Christianity 101. It's simple. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Even when I was playing, quote, church, I've told you, I never believed the Jews, God's chosen people thing. I simply don't know how someone can read these verses of scripture and still hold to the Jew thing. It's just crazy. Except if someone does not understand the last times, the end of the world, they can be deceived. This is why John tied the phrase the last times with destroying the Jews or God's chosen people deception. It's all right there, right in front of our faces. Not properly understanding fulfilled Bible prophecy will lead someone to the idiotic belief system that people who do not accept Jesus Christ can be God's chosen people, in spite of the clear, easy, childlike teachings of Paul and John. They can be deceived by the false teachers, by the antichrists. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, the last time we find Antichrist in our Bibles, turn to 2 John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. Okay, if you go back and read through John's letters, okay, not only do you find the five instances of Antichrist and Antichrists, you also find many references to the truth. And again, this should be so simple. The simple truth that those who believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they are of God. Those who do not believe are not in Christ. Now, friends, we also need to realize this. Every single person that plays, quote, church today says, I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Okay, just because someone says something doesn't make it so. If someone says they believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh 1 minute, and then they turn around a minute later and say that the, quote, Jews are God's chosen people, okay, they're saying, I deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's how deceivers work. They draw you in with things that you think you want to hear. But then when you examine things closer, you find out what and who they really are. Okay, keep going, verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Okay, this doctrine's pretty easy. It isn't hard. If any abide not in Christ, they do not have God. Do not say that people who do not abide in Christ are God's people. They're not. God's people are found in Christ. Find Christ, find God's people. Don't find Christ, Don't find God's people. And John says this is so important. If you encounter people who teach that the, quote, Jews are God's chosen people, this is such a grievous sin. It is such an attack on truth and the gospel of Christ. John says, do not let them come into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even offer a bless you when they sneeze. This is a really big deal. And friends, I know this is tough because we're talking about brothers, sisters, dads, moms, uncles, aunts, cousins, but we didn't write this book. This is the Word of God. This is so important, and drastic times call for drastic measures. Do you know how many times this week that I read an article or bits of an article where the phrase World War III was written in it? Okay, I realize that a lot of that is fear-mongering and I'm not falling for it, but these are serious times. The truth is, what's really going on, it's probably what's behind the scenes. The Middle East is probably a diversion from what the scum are doing. But either way, we've got to stand for the truth. Just like John said over and over, stand for the truth. And the truth is, the people of God are found in Christ. The people of God are not Jews who do not believe that Jesus was the Christ. Look at the warning of verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If you so much as God bless you to a sneeze from someone who advocates for Jews or whites or wet or whoever who has not embraced Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah King, John said we would be partakers of their evil deeds. This is serious business. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. I don't know how many more weeks that we're going to be dealing with this subject, but I do know this. We've just barely begun to scratch the surface of this issue of who Israel is. I sure hope you're getting the reassurance, the scriptures necessary to equip you in dealing with this great deception. The people of God are those who have embraced Jesus the Christ. That's Bible 101, Christianity 101. Anything else is not of God.
Above his name there is no other name, the one who is eternally the same. There is no other name, the first and last beginning and the end. He was the King who made the common man his friend. There is no other name. Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name. Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus. He created all that is with his own hands, and yet the smallest need he understands. There is no other name. The one who said, I am the great I am. And then he gave himself the sacrifice for man.
Been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.